have Reverend Dennis C. with us. And I just said, whatever's on your heart. Just have a great time, and let's just welcome Brother Dennis, okay?
Am I on? Yeah, check, check, check. Okay, I'm on. Electronics and I don't get along. I didn't even touch it yet. My cell phone, my computers, everything I own seems like it doesn't work. You know what? We're not going to do that. Set it right there. Hallelujah. Let me just do a quick little turn here. It's really good to be with you this morning. Marilyn and I have known each other since we were in school. We used to ride the bus together. They used to sing, her and her sister would sit in the back of the bus and sing songs, and I was always drawn into the music. And then I ended up getting saved, and then I joined in the song. they don't even realize it, but they were very instrumental actually in me even coming to the Lord. So it was really cool because they didn't compromise, you know, their walk with the Lord even from a young age. And we have a lot of fun, crazy history. It's awesome. So, I did want to say one thing before we jump into things. Pastor Jeff was talking about giving, and you know, I pick up pennies, and God says in His Word He gives seed to the sower. So, you know, when you find that money, that's seed. That's how I look at it. So I pick it up and I plant it. I put it wherever God tells me to put it. You know, you save enough change before you know it. I mean, we every year we throw all our change in a jar, and we would use it to go on vacation. We'd have $300 or $400 in change alone. You know, and so here recently, about a year ago, I was like, you know, in ministry, you don't always have a lot of finances coming in a lot of times. And so I was really desperate to have a vacation. I said, Lord, I need a break. I'm just tired, you know. You get tired after a while because there's a lot, you know, and that goes on in ministry. And so I was driving down the road, and traffic was real heavy in Harrisburg. It was rush hour. We just crossed the river and over into Camp Hill, and I see paper blowing all over the road. I'm thinking, that's money. So I jump out of my vehicle. The guy in front of me stops. We're picking $20 bills off the highway. I ended up with like $380-some and was able to get two nights on the beach at a hotel. Completely paid for by Jesus. Amen. I don't know how much the other guy got. He goes, what do you think we should do with this? I says, I don't know. I'm going on vacation. Bye. He was laughing. He goes, don't get run over. I said, I won't. But we're just scooping 20s off the highway. It was hilarious. They were just blowing everywhere. I'm like, I don't know where it came from. Probably, I have no idea what happened. But see, God will get it to you, you know, if you just trust Him. But you got to sow. You got to give, and you got to be faithful in the giving. Amen. So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into this. What I feel like God's given me for this morning. So, Father, we thank You so much for Your presence. We thank You so much for the worship this morning and for friendship and family, and Lord, for this church, God, and this area, this city, this region. Lord, I bless this place, God. I thank You that this part of Pennsylvania, God, that Your glory is here, it's shining, that Your presence is here, the revival is here, awakening is here. Father, we're just declaring that and decreeing that all over Pennsylvania. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that there's a prophetic word that says, as Pennsylvania goes, so goes the nation. And Lord, we are standing on those promises. Lord, William Penn prophesied that we were a seed to the nation, God. So, Lord, I thank You, Father, that we're going to be that holy experiment that He talked about, a seed and a blessing to the rest of the nation. Even our initials, the PA, we're the PA system to the nation, Father. We have a voice. We have something that You want to do, God, that to use this place. So, God, we've got some serious prayer to do and mandate to do on us to bring forth Your kingdom so the rest of the nation can come into alignment. We thank You for Pennsylvania this morning. We bless our state. We bless our leaders, Father, whether we like them or not. We bless them because Your Word says to do that. Your Word says to pray for those who have rule over You. So, Father, we bless our president, our vice president, cabinet, speakers, governors, mayors, all the way on down, school boards and principals in schools, Father. We bless every leader, God. We thank You, Father. We call the businesses of this region blessed. We call the homes and the families blessed. We call, Father, forth Your favor and abundance upon this region and this place. Father, we don't care what the economy says. We live in a different economy, the economy of heaven. And so, Father, we thank you, God, that this morning, God, as we move with your Spirit and by your Spirit, Father, that we are going to be blessed coming in and blessed going out. We're blessed everything we put our hands to, Lord. It is a new day and a new season for the church, Lord, that we are emerging and arising, Father, with great authority and power. Father, it's always been there, but we're getting it now, Father, and we're beginning to arise. So, Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I bless again this house and this word today, Father, as we move into what you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God has got some awesome things, I believe, and I just have a couple little words I want to start with first, the brother right here on the front row. I don't know if you play any kind of musical instrument or something like that, but you have music in you. I kept feeling like you're a worshiper of some kind, and that God is not going to let up with you until you get in that place and figure that out. And so I just felt like, you know, I kept seeing you. I don't know if you do drums or any kind of rhythm stuff, but I kept seeing you doing something with drums, but other instruments as well. I think there's many things in you. So we just call those gifts forth in this guy right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the brother I met this morning, I forgot your name. Cody, I felt like the Lord, as soon as I looked at you downstairs, I felt like the Lord has you know, you said you're going into the military of some kind, and I felt like the Lord wants to use you as a voice there, and so I heard the word, no compromise, no compromise, no compromise, and so you stand strong in your faith, and God is going to use you to be a voice, you know, and he'll give great favor to you and open doors that others will, like, how are you getting where you're getting? Why are you advancing like you are? And you can say it's because of Jesus, so there's going to be great favor on you. Hallelujah. Leanne, the Lord says everything's about to change for you on a major scale. I know some things we talked about yesterday and things like that, so I'm trying to stay away from anything I know. So I don't know what this exactly is about, but there's going to be some major change for you coming in the coming days. And it's going to be really scary, but God says to step into it, and he's going to bless you for it and through it, and he's going to give you the everything you need. And it's going to all come together. And there's not going to, and I felt like there's not going to be one, but there's going to be two. So there's not going to be one, but there's going to be two. I don't know what this is about. I'm just saying, you'll remember this word, write it down. But there's not going to be one, but there's going to be two of what he's called you to do. So, yeah. So thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I did see when we were doing worship, I sang some of it out. I saw this house like a well of worship opening up. And there was this great big, like, burning heart above this, you know, building, like fire was coming out of everywhere, but it was a heart of worship. And that there's a well of worship and revival that God's, it was this, the cap was still over it, but I feel like it's about to be uncapped. But the cap was not to hold you back or hold you down, but it was keeping you hidden for a season of preparation to get ready for what God's bringing. And so be encouraged, don't be discouraged but what God is going to do, you know, because he's going to bring some things forth, amen. The brother here, is it Jim? John. That was close. I feel like the Lord's put like a real prophetic voice in you. I actually feel like you have a call of a prophet on your life, and that the Lord wants to begin to use you to step into that. It's almost lied dormant for a season, but the Lord's going to he's breathing on the fire of that again. And it's time for you to prophesy and begin to speak the word of the Lord over this region and everywhere that the Lord sends you. You're going to have real accurate, in-depth words on some things. And don't be shy in that area. Be very bold and just begin to decree it out and declare it out. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, that's it for right now. There may be some more later, but that's just the ones the Lord kind of highlighted to me. I want to talk this morning, and I kind of move fast, so just go with me. But I'm going to talk about keeping a burning heart and cultivating a burning heart. So I thought it was interesting that the Lord shows me that. I never even put the two together when I saw that over the house, so I thought that's interesting. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, if you will. And we're going to start there in just a second. Let me just read this scripture first. Luke 24, starting with verse 30. It says, "Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then the eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us? So they rose up in that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them and them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And he told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now this scripture is talking about, you know, walking with Jesus. And so, you know, as believers, you know, if we've walked with the Lord for any amount of time, we start to get a little bit discouraged sometimes. We go through some things. We're thinking, you know, the world has all the fun and we don't get to do anything, you know. But that fun is not going to lead to a very good place, is it? So sometimes we have to sacrifice those things and lay down the things of the world. But to keep our hearts on fire and burning, we need to walk with Jesus. We need to be with him. We need to think about him. You know, it's like he said, when I have to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. See, he sent the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is here in the form of the Holy Spirit. God is here. So we just got to begin to know the Holy Spirit. And there's been people throughout history, Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn, so many of the great people that we know about, Wigglesworth, and all you go back through history, all these people, they knew the Holy Spirit. And they knew him, they knew his voice, they understood him, he spoke to them, and that kept them in this place of great anointing, miracles and signs and wonders, and all this stuff. And that's so many of the reasons why we don't have signs and wonders, because we're not spending any time with the Lord. We don't know what his heart is because we're just doing our thing and trying to survive and live. And I've been guilty of that. I've done the same stuff. You know, even in ministry sometimes you get so tired and so burnt out, you just want to sit at home and be left alone. Because, you know, I understand why Jesus went out into the boat, because he had to get away from the crowds for a while. Why he went to some of the places he went to, he had to take a break too. Because people pull on you and they want things from you. And if you're, especially if you're prophetic, they really pull on you. I had people, somebody called me the other day, "Do you have a word for me?" Who are you? I don't even know who you are. You know, it's like, yeah, here's your word. Read it. So I wanted to say, you know, I'm getting feisty in my old age. It's like, but you know, it's like if you spend time with God, you're going to know what to do. And a lot of times when a prophet or a prophetic person comes through, they're going to just confirm things that God has said to you already because you spent time with them. Yeah, so the lady right here in the orange, what's your name? Kathy. I felt like the Lord was going to take you into intercession. I was seeing that during worship. You're an intercessor, and God's going to really move you into that area of prayer. So if you're not doing it, you're getting ready to go deep in it. So get ready to encounter God. I was looking for you and you left the room for a minute. We bless Kathy this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's flip over to John 7. Oops. Verse 37. Yeah, let's start there. On the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of the heart will flow rivers of living water." So another way to keep your heart burning is let those rivers of living water begin to flow out of you. And spend time again with Jesus and begin to you know, believe the word that he's spoken. You know, cry out with him, stand with him, listen to his voice. Get to know him. It's like, you know, I see this all over the church, and this is Spirit-filled churches. You know, and I see all of this, I want to say apathy, just lifelessness. It's like people don't really, like, know the Lord. In churches, and I'm talking Spirit-filled churches, they'll worship, they'll cry out, they'll dance, they'll do all the things, they roll on the floor and laugh, all these things, but they really don't know him. They get right up and leave the same way they come in, and it's like I'm realizing that people really don't have a relationship with Jesus, and that's a big problem, because in the Word it says, and one of the scariest scriptures I got a hold of as a new believer was the one about, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And I thought, oh my gosh, what does this mean? You know, I'm at the altar repenting, you know, every Sunday night when we had the altar calls. And you know, I actually felt like I got saved every Sunday night for a year, you know, because I went to the altar every Sunday night. I want to make sure it took, you know. So I'm like, God, you know, but it's like, I didn't know him. You know, it's like, and I realized that. And so from a young age, I started really pressing in to know Jesus and who he really was and spending time with him. We used to have a prayer meeting that met on Friday nights as teenagers in these people's house. We had just incredible encounters with God. We didn't even know what we were doing, but we were actually being trained for ministry clear back as teenagers and learning to hear the voice of God. We would come and we would wait together. We'd worship together. We might go into intercession. We didn't even know what intercession was. We might go into prophetic worship. We didn't really even know what that was at the time. Because a lot of us were from denominational churches that didn't do that kind of worship. You know, and God was growing us and doing something powerful in our lives. But it was that waiting on God in his presence. It was that listening to his voice and waiting on him and just getting to know him. So we learned to hear his voice. And then we could begin to speak what we saw him speaking and do what we saw him doing, which is what we're supposed to be doing. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Starting with verse 3, it says, "And bring in Bethany, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper," let me get this out where I can read it here. Forgot my glasses. Let me go back to start again. "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it over his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whatever you wish, you may do them good, whenever you wish. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come before to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." So here's this lady pouring out her oil that she owns. It's her inheritance. It's all that she has. She's pouring it out. And you got to think, this oil, this fragrance was on Jesus when he went to the cross. I mean, how powerful is that? Here's something this woman gave to him, and he took it to the cross. I mean, he took it into the grave, and when he went into heaven, that oil, that fragrance was going with him. See, we need to give ourselves to the Lord like this in pure worship. This is another way our hearts stay burning, giving ourselves to him, pouring ourselves out on him. And it's like we need to not be afraid to get crazy for the Lord. When you look up like some of the words for worship and praise, halal, I think it is, or tehala means to be clamorously foolish. You know, to be wild, to be crazy. It's okay to be crazy and wild and, you know, worshiping God. We don't think it is. This thing keeps falling off. We don't think it is sometimes, but it's like God wants us to do that. And sometimes we need to step out in faith and be a wild worshiper because it breaks something in us. It takes us out of our comfort zone. It takes us out of our, it kills pride in us. It begins to deal with some things that, you know, we didn't even know were in there. You know, I mean, I've gotten in the presence of the Lord sometimes and I'm just like in this glorious spot and glorious place and some really ugly little thing comes up in me and says, "Let's deal with this right now." Do we have to? Like, I'm enjoying the moment here, God. Yeah, but that's what this moment's for right now, for you to get free from this thing. So we can't be afraid to encounter him, and worship is going to do this. But there's always going to be those ones that are going to judge and criticize and do their thing. You know, that's between them and God. God's going to deal with them, just like Michael, David's wife. You know, she criticized and judged, and she became barren because she judged the worship of David. And I really believe there's a spiritual barrenness that comes on people when they judge people's worship. I've seen this in many, many people's lives. I had a friend who refused. We took her to this meeting. We all went to this meeting, and it was in Kansas City. And we're sitting there, and the speaker was speaking, and it was just a really intense meeting. The presence of the Lord was everywhere. And this girl was sitting in the same row as us across the aisle, and she was just sitting there shaking the whole time, just shaking and shaking and shaking under the power. you know, and she was trying to keep it together and trying not to draw attention, but she couldn't help herself. It was just the Holy Spirit all over her, you know. And so the speaker didn't think a thing about it. They just kept right on speaking. Well, my friend that had came with us, and she goes, "What is that chick's problem?" Just like that, she goes, "She got like Holy Ghost Tourette syndrome or something." I whipped around her. I says, "Don't mock God." I just like that, and I've never done that to anybody in my life. The minute I pointed at her, she starts shaking. God took her like by the back of her neck, like slammed her into the seat in front of her, hit her into the seat behind her, and flew her black. She took out three chairs, the people behind us, and she was on the floor, and she shook for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And she goes, "You did this to me." I said, "I didn't do it." I said, "You did it yourself." Because you were mocking God. And she don't mock God no more. Amen. I have another friend. He's a pastor in Ohio, and we took him to a meeting. It was a leadership meeting, actually, in Georgia for the Houses of Prayer, which I'm a leader of in a house of prayer in Harrisburg. And the Holy Spirit's falling. There's 300 leaders of this thing. People were crawling out from underneath the tables. I mean, you had to see it. It was like holy pandemonium. They had like 7 keyboard players try to come up on the platform to lead worship. Every keyboard player fell on the floor off the bench. I mean, the speakers would try to come to the pulpit. They'd either fall over the pulpit, beside the pulpit. They're like, "Can anybody come up here and speak? Can anybody come up and do anything?" I'm thinking, I don't think now's the time to speak, you know, really. But this pastor friend that was with us, he was like, you know, he was just not getting touched at all. Nothing was happening. So the whole weekend's over. We're headed home. We stop at McDonald's to before we head out of town. We come back out, and out of my van is running, milk is running out from underneath my van. Out of my van, a friend had tank had this giant gallon size cup to drink out of, and it dumped in my van full of milk. Well, this pastor goes, "That's an insurance claim." The Holy Spirit hits him, throws him back against a garbage can. The guy cried and shook for 13 hours all the way back to Pennsylvania as we drove. For 6 months, he couldn't preach. He'd get up to preach, he'd fall down and he'd crawl on all fours, and he would talk like a drunk hillbilly pirate. That's all we can describe it as. They'd have 10, 15, 20 people at their kitchen watching him try to talk to them. And people from their church were coming and watching. They couldn't believe what was going on. His wife called me a couple months and said, "What am I supposed to do?" I said, "Just let God do what he's doing. God's dealing with this. You know, there's some things going on in his brother's life." You know, and the wife ended up having to preach. He'd be on all fours, just, you had to see it. It was hilarious. But God was killing pride and dealing with his heart. And what happened was it actually brought Jezebel to the surface in their church, the spirit of Jezebel, and God dealt with it and got it out. Because Jezebel doesn't want that kind of freedom. She wants to be, it wants to be in control. It's a spirit. And so it was so crazy how God used that crazy thing to bring out the demonic stuff and deal with things in the church. And now their church is awesome. God's doing an incredible work there. So you know, it's important that you pour yourself over God and don't stand back and look from a distance and stay at a distance, but give yourself all. Like sometimes when I'm worshiping, I just see myself just like draping over Jesus and giving myself to him, you know, and I just picture that. God's given us our imagination for a reason, you know, and our brain for a reason, so we can picture these things and see things, because it's the Holy Spirit bringing that to us and showing us. I have incredible encounters with the Lord. He takes me in worship a lot of times. He takes me into the Spirit, into the throne room. I mean, I've seen the throne room many times. I stood before the four living creatures one time in a service. I'm praying for people to be healed, and I just stop right here, and I just like blip out of the room. When I came to within seconds, I see the four living creatures. I see all their wings, and there's eyes like about this big in every wing, every piece of their body, everywhere in them. That's what the scripture says. Their eyes are all around. Their wing, it's everywhere. Simultaneously, eyes were scanning me. I knew they knew everything that was in my life. Anything that was there, they could see everything. I knew that. And so I'm like, I'm overwhelmed with this vision, this moment. I don't know what's going on. This happened in Meadville. I didn't know what was going on. I'm standing there. I'm thinking, all of a sudden, I hear my elbow creak like it needs oil, like the Tin Man. So without thinking, I'm just caught up in the Spirit. Without thinking, I'm like, who's got an issue in their elbow? And it was the lady right in front of me. She was instantly healed. She'd broke her elbow. She was instantly healed. I thought, you know, I learned a valuable lesson. We've got to learn to walk in that realm. we talk it, we preach it, we read it, we think, yeah, that's awesome. But we all need to do that. It's not just for a leader. It's not. It's for the whole body of Christ. Because if we all start walking like this, Williamsport isn't going to know what to do with you. You're going to scare everybody into the kingdom. And that's not a bad thing. I'm saying that in a good way, okay? It's gonna cause the fear of the Lord to come, because they're going to know Jesus is real. And he's in their city. He has come to visit them. We don't want to miss that day of visitation as he comes. But it comes by breaking ourselves open and pouring ourselves out upon the Father. And so that keeps our hearts engaged in the fire. So walking with Jesus, believing in him, you know, praying in the Spirit, pure worship, extravagant acts of devotion. You know, don't be afraid. You know, if you have an issue in worship and you are afraid to be, you know, free, I guarantee God's going to always put the wild worshiper beside you till you get free. I had this pastor talking one time. He's talking about he was so not into worship freely. So he says, so God puts Sister Holy Ghost beside me. You know what I'm talking about. The one who's wild, the one who shakes, the one who rolls, the one who's all over the chair. You know, and all this was going on, and he was like, she was throwing herself on him and all this other stuff. He couldn't take it anymore. Finally, he just surrendered and started worshiping, and he got free. He's a pastor of a huge church in Columbus, Ohio. And so, you know, God will bring you to a place of freedom if you let him, or even if you don't let him, he will. You can come now or come later, but you're coming. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Let's look at Matthew 5. Uh, 5:3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This is always the keeping your heart stirred up. And blessed actually means happy. Happy are those. You're going to be happy if you're poor in spirit. You're going to be happy if you're, you know, if you're willing to mourn. You're going to be happy and be comforted if you're meek. You're going to be happy if you thirst. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed or happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed or happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And so they persecuted the prophets who are before you. You will be persecuted as a believer, okay? Just settle that now. People are going to laugh and mock you. Don't let it get to you. Who cares? You know, I mean, as a young Christian, in school, I remember so many things. We were so teased and persecuted in a sense. I mean, they used to grab my Bible and throw it down the hall. Everybody would kick it and do stuff. But it was funny because all of the unsaved kids would start protecting me and watching out for me. You know, the Christians just scattered and ran. They didn't stay with me. The three friends I did have, that were in my grade, they were like, you know, because I got filled with the Spirit, they abandoned me. Because they didn't want the Holy Spirit. They were, you know, of other denominations, and they thought I was now messed up, you know. But I was in a church that didn't believe in being filled with the Spirit. In fact, they came against it. But, you know, God drew me into that. She was a divorced woman leading our youth group. Because you're divorced, God can't use you, but he can use you as a youth leader in our church. That was the mentality. Okay. Which is not scriptural at all, okay? Okay, I'm just saying where crazy we were at. But so this lady took me home, gave me a ride home, and led me to baptism in the Holy Spirit. Praise God for her. She's now with Jesus, but praise God for her. And she helped so many of us young teenagers and stuff like that when the church was actually persecuting us. You know, and so we just had to settle some things. And so, I mean, I remember the one night our pastor, he yells at me. He says, in God's name, what are you doing in front of the whole youth group? I went to walk out. I had such an attitude. I thought, I am done with this. I am so done with this. I went to move, and my feet were literally glued to the floor. I went like this. something. I guess I'm staying here. So I stood, and I found out that if I'd have walked out, the whole youth group would have left that night. But God didn't want that kind of strife and division going on. I had to get my act together and get a good attitude. So I submitted to my leadership, but I was still getting people filled with the Holy Spirit behind the scenes. It didn't matter. You know, so because we have to go there. We have to do what God's telling us to do. You will be persecuted. Don't let it get to you. Let's look at Psalms 39, just a couple more scriptures, and we'll bring this to a close. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to stir your faith. I want to, you know, I want you to think about these scriptures and meditate on these scriptures and let God begin to birth this fiery heart in us, because we really have to be burning right now for Jesus and be in that place of fire and presence. Psalms 39, starting with verse 1, it says, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. We need to understand we are frail. We are weak vessels. That there will be an end for our lives. And we need to know that, and we need to understand that. And I think we do know that. I think we do get that to a point. But we don't have to live like it's over and defeated. We can live in this place of great victory and favor and blessing. And it's keeping our hearts on fire for Jesus. The scripture says, it talks about, guard my ways, or I will sin with my tongue. We need to keep in the presence of God so that our mouth is speaking the right things. We don't want to speak against God's word. We don't want to be saying the opposite of God's word. And one of the ways we do it all the time is, I'm sick. No, you're not. You're healed. The word says you're healed. You know, the word says that we're blessed. So stop acting like you're cursed. Jesus was the curse. He took the curse for us. See, we got to start speaking things very differently in our lives. And we got to start seeing, this is what's going to keep us on fire. This is going to make us stand out. And we'll get persecuted for it. Because people are like, yo, you're sick. No, I'm not sick. These are symptoms the enemy's trying to put on me right now. But Jesus already overcame that for me. He was sickness for me. By his stripes, I'm healed. So I'm healed and I'm receiving my healing. And that's where I'm going to stay. And that's what my tongue is going to confess. Not coming into agreement with the opposite thing. Goes on to restrain my mouth. Some of us need to restrain our mouths. We really do. And really begin to, you know, just pray. If you're going to say something you shouldn't say, start praying in tongues. Just speak in tongues, okay? And you'll start laughing. It'll start to change you. You'll start to lose the attitude, lose the bad feelings. And next thing you know, you're going to be shouting the victory. You'll be in a good place. Amen. I did this. I mean, when I worked at one job, I was praying in tongues every 10 minutes. Trying to deal with issues and people and things, and oh my gosh, it was horrible. But it's like I started laughing. I finally started getting to the place of blessing and favor. Instead of feeling like I was woe is me and always being persecuted, I became the one that was people were coming to. I got 3 raises in 1 year, and my insurance paid for 100%. And the boss said, please do not tell anybody, because we're not doing this for anybody else. We just feel like we need to do this for you. They didn't even know why they were doing it. I even created a position for myself that wasn't there. I got to start buying for the company and traveling around. It was awesome. People were so jealous and mad at me, because before they were giving me a hard time thinking they were everything, and they don't even know how the low man on the totem pole became the top of the totem pole. You know what I'm saying? So, because it's favor, because I changed my attitude and I began to believe God and walk in what he actually said about me. I would go in, they actually gave me a key to the store. I would go in before the store opened and pray over the whole place. Go up and down, I'd dance through the store and pray in tongues and decree and declare things that God said over the place. The place prospered. And so that's what we need to be doing with our lives in every area of our life. That's how we overcome. We're going to end in Isaiah 55. Let's flip over there real quick. Verse 8, 55:8, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God has such favor for our lives. And when we meditate on these things and begin to, like, this starts in verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come and drink. You know, come to the waters. You have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." You know, it's like Jesus has everything for us. That alone should make us stay in a place of excitement in life. When we give our lives to Jesus, we're actually trading that old nature, that old man. And I'm sure you know this, but, you know, we get rid of, it's gone. That old nature is no more in us. The only thing that's still hanging on is our mind. That's why we have to renew our mind through the Word. We have to begin to think on the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God so we think right. But God has so much favor and so much abundance for us and so much blessing for us, and he wants to pour out upon all flesh. He wants his sons and daughters to begin to prophesy. He wants us to begin to dream dreams. He wants us to begin to move in and out of the Spirit and see what he has for us. He's got so much more than just what's in front of us. Yeah. See, if you begin to see what's really going on in the atmosphere here in your city and see the angels and what God's sending and what he's beginning to put together here, it's going to excite you. But you think, well, how do I see that? You got to get in the presence of God so he can begin to open your eyes. We've had in our prayer room recently, we've been doing worship, and this great big angel that's about probably 10, 12 feet tall comes and stands back right by the sound booth, and he's dressed in this armor that's like jewel tone colors, like burgundy, gold, and blue. When I was first singing and saw it, I'm like, I looked again, like, what am I seeing? It kind of freaked me out for a second, and it's like, and all of a sudden he saw me that I saw him, and he just goes zing, and he zings through the room and gone. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so he's been back a couple times that I've seen him, you know, and so somebody came to our ministry recently and said that something about that God has given you an angel, and I forget what he said about that. He went into some details about it, but and I said, yeah, I know that. I says, I've seen it in here, you know, and in fact, I knew God had assigned something to us here, you know, because we're dealing with governmental stuff. We go in and out of the Capitol, we worship down to Harrisburg and do all this stuff, and it's really cool what God's doing in there, so... you have to come to Harrisburg sometime. We have some cool worship times in the rotunda, and senators, I was telling these guys, they'll worship like this. Some of them are hiding behind poles, and they're worshiping, you know, but it's like some are out in the open, they're worshiping, they don't care. But we have some godly men and women in the Capitol, and there's more coming in. God's doing some things in our state on a very, very massive scale. So I know there's all the negative side of things, but we got to keep praying, and that's what we're doing there. But so anyway, this angel thing. So this other kid recently comes from New Jersey. He's standing there. He goes, this angel was standing right here the whole time. I said, well, where was he standing? And he pointed right to the spot where I see him all the time. I said, yep, that's right. He goes, do you know what that's about? I said, yeah, I do. And he was waiting for me to tell him. I said, it's okay. Yeah, he's here. He didn't need to know. But it's like, you know, you see, God will open your eyes to begin to see things. And there's a reason for why that's there, because he's a warring angel. You know, he's coming out of our worship, and he's protecting and watching over. God keeps telling us that he's hidden us in plain sight. So we do some of the wildest, craziest things in the Spirit, you know, and through our worship and through our prayers, and we're just singing songs. And nobody even knows what's going on. But see, our worship is the warfare. And so God's doing this. And so that keeps us so stirred up, that place of worship. We have a meeting coming up in September, which we're going to send you guys information about. It'll be 3 days. We're setting a tent up right across from the Capitol in Harrisburg, and we're bringing worship teams from churches all over Pennsylvania. You can come and take a time slot and pray, and we're going to be praying and worshiping for 3 days, round the clock, night and day. Like David's tent, how David had his tent set up with the Ark of the Covenant in it. They're doing it in all 50 states simultaneously in September. It's called Tent America. You can Google it and look it up. But yeah, so that's a big deal, because worship stills the enemy and the avenger, it says in Psalms. It shuts the mouth of the devil. So can you imagine if we're worshiping for 3 days, what's going to happen in our capital? And we got Pennsylvania coming into agreement with this. When we, you know, David's tent in Washington, I don't know if you're aware that there's a tent set up there. It's been there over 2 years now. They worship night and day. It never stops. Worship's going continuously. This year, each state has had a week. And so, like, you can come in anytime. You set up and schedule your time frame, and you go in and you worship. Well, they've been getting a lot of persecution from the government and the mall down there. They're literally on the mall by the Washington Monument. And they've been getting a lot of persecution from them. And Mike Pence's wife got wind of it, and she took it to President Trump. And he said, no more. They're going to have a permanent place here. Now, how awesome is that? Our president is saying it's okay for the Tabernacle of David to go night and day on government property. Now, you think about that. Yes, it is. So that has opened some doors spiritually for us that we don't even know what. See, this is why we got to get tapped in. This is why we got to get our hearts on fire for Jesus, because he has stuff he wants to show us, but we're so busy just trying to survive and get through life because the enemy keeps us in this confusing swirl that we can't function. And I just got so mad about that several years ago. I thought, I'm done with this. I am not living in this confusion and this garbage in my life anymore. And we have to get mad. We have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired, amen? And there just comes a point where we're saying, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm going to believe on God's word if it kills me. I'm going to stand on his promises no matter what happens. I am not giving up until I see these things come to pass. Don't have a preconceived idea of what they look like when they come to pass either, because God's ways are not our ways. Just say, yes, Lord, let it come, and you'll be blessed. You'll be amazed at what all he's going to do. I'm telling you, you really will. So I want to encourage you this morning to keep your hearts burning. Stay on fire with the Lord. Pour yourself over him. Pray in the Spirit. Spend time with him. Get to know him. Move into that place in the spirit realm. You know, and if you don't know what that looks like or how it is, just ask the Holy Spirit to begin to take you there. I used to spend hours playing my piano, and I would just wait on God. I'd play one chord or one note and just sit there and just listen and wait. And just wait for the Lord. I didn't say anything about the CDs back there, but I just mentioned them real quick. I have a new CD. It's called Realm, and I made it for that kind of thing, so everybody's wanting a soaking CD. And so I made this CD, and it was about the presence of God. It was just the piano, the keyboard, a very low key, no rhythm, real rhythm stuff to it, just so you could be lost in the presence and sit there and soak and think and meditate on God's word. And there was a funny story about it. A friend of ours... Marilyn's brother-in-law. he was recording it for me, and it was all spontaneous. And so we get it all done. I was so excited. It was the first one I ever done like this. It was really cool. And he calls me the next day. He goes, brother, he says, I'm really sorry. He says, but I pushed the wrong button and deleted it all. Can we redo it? I'm like, no, we can't redo this. I don't know what to do. You know, it's like, oh. And I was getting ready to move, so I thought, you know, forget it. I'll just do one later. And so about 8 months ago, I was looking in, I have this great big CD case, and in the CD case was a white envelope with just my name written on it, just Dennis. Nothing on the CD, nothing. I'm driving down the road, I'm listening to the CD, I'm thinking, wow, this is really anointed. Second track comes on, I'm like, I'm crying, I'm shaking, I'm having to pull over, third track. Fourth track comes on, it's me. I'm like, where did the CD come from? Because this got screwed up. There was no copy made, you know, that I remember. I just don't remember a copy being made, and the Lord says, I gave it to you. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm really excited about it. And that's not a sales pitch. I'm just saying I'm excited about it. If you want something that's going to take you into the presence, that CD will do. It's called Realm. There's a high school in Texas, a secular high school, actually playing it in their school to keep the kids calm. So yeah. See, God will make a way for you and give you favor. But see, we've got to know. God's got strategies in this hour for us that are like unlike anything we've ever seen. But we're not going to get there if we don't have that burning heart, if we don't stay in his presence and be willing to step out and be a radical, crazy worshiper for him and be willing to go into that realm and not be afraid to do what we see him doing. If he tells you to jump up and spin in the middle of the meeting, jump up and spin. If he tells you to kneel down and get on your face, get on your face. You don't know what God's going to do with that or what happens through that. We had a lady I know, she came and ministered to our back in Conneaut Lake when I used to live there. And
She was in a hotel, and God told her to go by the Coke machine and stand on her head in a hotel. She's like, I am not doing this. You know, she's arguing with God. Finally, she goes, okay. So she goes and does it. This guy walks in the thing, and he's like in shock. He breaks down the whole thing, big story, testimony, whatever. He was going to commit suicide. He said, God, if you're real, have somebody stand on their head by the Coke machine. See, now what if she wasn't obedient? See, you don't know. You just don't know. But if we're not spending time with God in God's presence, see, we're just existing. God didn't make us to exist. He made us to be overcomers and take dominion and rule and reign. We're supposed to be calling the shots in our cities, our government, and our regions. And we can do it from the prayer rooms. You know, we can do it from our prayer rooms, from our places of prayer, the intercession. We can transform and change our cities and our towns. God is big. He is awesome. He wants to pour out. He wants to do things. So let's pray, and let's just pray here. So Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this time together. Lord, I bless these people again, Father. I thank you, Lord. I feel so much destiny in this house, Lord, and so much vision and things that have even lied dormant for a while. I feel like you're stirring and breathing on this morning. Lord, I thank you that you're going to resurrect dreams and visions in people's hearts. Lord, that they're going to dream again, that they're going to come alive again because of that, spending that time with you and pouring themselves over you and meditating on your word and allowing you to be Lord. I thank you, God, for strengthening them and encouraging them. Lord, we bless their families today, even the ones that aren't here. Lord, all those ones that are being prayed for, the family members that are always the ones needing prayer, God, we lift them up to you this morning. God, that you would bring deliverance, bring healing. I feel like there's going to be such a revival of the prodigals and a coming in of the prodigals. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the prodigals of our family members, that they're coming into the kingdom. They're going to come into church, and they're going to begin to be grow and to mature and to come into wisdom and understanding. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So now, Father, we just ask this morning, God, that you would, if there's anybody in here this morning and you want just prayer for anything, I just want to invite you to come on up. I'm going to pray with you. And whatever it is, if you need healing, if you just need encouragement, if you just need me to pray over you about something, just come on up if you would, and I'll pray over you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.